You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC. Welcome to this episode of the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. My name is Tom Bump. I'm your host, and we've got another fantastic episode I think will be great for everybody to hear. We're talking about how to get the most out of any ministry conference. And, you know, recently there was some discussion on Facebook about the value of a specific conference, but really any kind of conference. And there's a lot of ministry leaders out there and many of our listeners that wonder, is going to a conference worth it? And there's a lot of choices out there, and there's a lot of conferences that are offering leaders the opportunity to come and rest and worship and reimagine and renew ideas and things to get connected with other leaders. And so the question was being asked is, so is it worth the investment, and how do you make the most of it? And so today my good friend Jason Tilley is going to join me to discuss not only our experiences, but and how we get the most out of a conference, but we're also going to look at some unique perspectives that Jason really has, because he's worked behind the scenes. He's worked as somebody who's exhibited at conferences, and so he'll be able to give a good perspective on that. So Jason, welcome to the KMC again.
Oh, thanks for having me, Tom.
Cool. Well, let's get started, because conference season's upon us. There's already been a lot of conferences that have happened in the fall of 2018, and there's more coming. And one of our favorites is coming up. This is one, really was one of the first children's ministry conferences I ever attended, that was a big time conference anyway, that had more than like 300 people there. I'd attended a lot of regional little things, but never had been to a major conference. And so Children's Pastors Conference, run by the International Network of Children's Ministry, they pretty much always run every January, like clockwork. And I know you've been a part of it for a long time, and you speak there, you've exhibited there. You responded to somebody on Facebook about somebody asking, hey, should I attend CPC? Is it worth the investment? And so you ended up writing a blog on Ministry Accelerator, where Jason does a lot of blogging. So if you haven't been familiar with Ministry Accelerator, go look that up right now. Get that on there. It's important to link into that community and check out some of the writings that Jason and John Tillman both create there. They got a lot of good content. But let's specifically talk about Children's Pastors Conference. That's the next big thing coming. So right out of the gates, what kind of advice would you give for someone who's considering investing in themselves by attending a conference like CPC?
Well, the thing is, and what it really struck me when you mentioned that Facebook post and what we were looking at it, and somebody said, hey, is this worth the $1,000? Well, CPC doesn't cost $1,000. But when you factor in hotel and airfare and meals, $1,000 is a pretty fair amount for a conference of that size when that you're traveling to at a distance. And, you know, that people were saying, oh, you'll love it. Oh, it's great. Oh, you'll love it. And I'm like, the guys really want to know. I'm like, what am I going to tell my church about this $1,000 I'm spending?
Right.
Of people who tithe to our church to support our ministries, to support our salaries, to help us grow as pastors, how am I going to justify this? And one of the things I wanted to do was just say, okay, so I said, I want to help you out. I want to give you one way, one aspect. Now, there are things you can't put a price tag on. Mm-hmm. You can't put a price tag on the inspiration God gives you while you're there. Yep. You can't put a price tag on the season of rest. Yep. And being with fellow ministers, talking about ministry, but not having the pressure of your weekly ministry on top of you. Mm-hmm. You can't put a price tag on that. You can't put a price tag on relationships you build and encouragement. That's not the kind of stuff I'm trying to put a price tag on.
Right.
But you can put a price tag on some of the professional development that happens at a good conference. Mm-hmm. I think you can. And so basically, I kind of created this exercise and was like, well, once I got the exercise created, I'm like, we might as well share it with more than just this Facebook post. And it was basically, I said, you know, take some time and put some effort into thinking through what you want to get out of a conference. So The first place you start there is you start with, what do you want to do with your ministry? What is God doing through you to engage your children, to engage the parents of those children, and to engage the volunteers of your ministry? You have to determine that.
Right.
And that you determine through prayer, through talking with your fellow pastors, through looking at what God's doing in the church, through looking at your church mission and vision and saying, okay, what does God want to do with this community?
Yeah.
And then from there, I was like, once you determine that, it helps you decide some aspects of a conference may be useful. And what I'm specifically talking about is breakouts.
Right.
You know, we talk about, I'm teaching a couple of workshops. You're teaching some workshops. John's teaching some workshops. Other people, like, you know, at CPC in particular, Nick Blevins, Dale Hudson, David Roush, I'm Sam Luce, Danielle Bell, Corinne Noble. I can just keep naming people who are bringing their own expertise together for this huge amount of workshops that you can attend.
Yeah.
To grow.
Right. So when somebody looks over a conference list like that, how do they figure out what to look at? I mean, how do they maximize their time? How do they make the choices? Because it's tough.
Yeah. There's a lot of breakouts.
Yeah. And unless you're bringing a team where you can divide yourselves, you know, that's great. If you can bring a team, that's one of the best ways to divide and conquer. Everybody take some and go. But if you're coming by yourself, which a lot of people do, how do you go through that breakout list and figure out what would be the best investment of my time?
Well, if I can use a fishing analogy, I often use this with volunteer recruiting, but it applies to this here too. You could use a net, a pond, or a spear approach.
Mm-hmm.
There's three particular ways to fish. You can drag a net to the ocean and grab every fish that's there. You could go to a pond with a certain type of bait and fish for a certain type of fish. Or with a spear, you're throwing in one spear at one fish. All right, you're zoning in. And in the case of what I'm talking about here, if you've got an idea of what God's trying to do with your ministry, you go spear fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You basically say, okay, here's what I know. You could write down, let's say there's maybe, let's say you could make three options. I forget how many options. I think there may be four or five sessions at CPC, but depending on the conference, let's just say, for example, you have three breakout options you can choose as a person. If you know what God's trying to do with your ministry, you just take a piece of paper on the left-hand side. You write down three things that God's trying to do in your ministry.
Uh-huh.
And then on the right-hand side, you go through and you look at breakouts that conference is offering, and you list three breakouts that you think will help you accomplish what God's trying to do in your ministry.
Uh-huh.
And then that white space in between, you just write a sentence. And it's something simple like, this breakout will teach me this, which I'll be able to use to help my ministry blank and address the need for blank, your ministry need. All right, and I've got that kind of outline in the blog too, if you want to check it out. But basically, you just write a simple sentence that says, "This is how this breakout is going to help me accomplish my ministry need." And when you know that, you can then sign up for those three breakouts with confidence, because you don't have to look at a big sheet of paper and go, because nobody wants to go to a breakout and go, "Well, I'm hoping this gives me something."
Right.
I hate that.
Yeah.
As an instructor, I hate that, because I'm like, I don't ever want someone to come to my workshop and say, I hope to get something out of it. I want you to know what you're going to get out of it.
Right.
And I want you to come with confidence that you're going to get something of value. And I'm not saying that you know, I everything I teach lines up with what you're looking for. It doesn't. No one does. But when you're just kind of throwing darts at the wall, hoping that you pick a breakout that works, or you pick a breakout based on somebody you know you've heard, you say, well, they'll be good, I don't know that you're getting the most out of your conference.
Right, right. You know, and I've heard some people, well, I've been guilty of it myself. I've gone, you know, I see somebody speaking, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to go hear them again. And that really ultimately, I didn't need to go hear them again. You know,
right.
It might have been based on my friendship with them or just their reputation that I went and attended. And then instead of me getting something that sharpened my skills, deepened my leadership, you know, gave me something to stretch my view of ministry, I didn't really challenge myself, and therefore, in some ways, I wasted that investment time. Mm-hmm. I would, you know, as I look at it, and there have been times, and I've been to a few conferences where, unfortunately, you get into a breakout, and they're not delivering what was advertised, and that
right.
There's nothing more frustrating to a conference goer. And so I often warn people that haven't been to conferences. Yes, you're going to have some of those where, sure, unfortunately, you know, there's nothing worse than you get into a breakout and the leader goes, you know, I know we were going to speak about this, but I really feel like I should do this.
And
old bait and switch. Now, most of the time, I will say, it doesn't happen at CPC very often. It may have happened a long time ago, but I don't think it nearly happens as much as it used to, where people
Man,
do that.
Well, at CPC, you actually have to do a lot.
Yeah.
Before they ever accept your breakout.
Right.
To explain what you're teaching, why it's relevant, how it's going to impact the ministry, what it's going to do. They put a lot of thought and effort into curating some very good breakouts.
Yes. And I also think that when stuff like that happens, if people use those evaluation forms, we'll talk about what you should do when you're there and all that in a little bit. But, you know, you use those evaluation forms to say, hey, this person did a bait and switch. I've done that. I was at a conference once where I went to a specific breakout looking for some specific help, and I got in there, and the speaker started off with, I know this is what the description read, but I really feel led to take this other direction. And then, he, you know, he kind of was like, well, does anybody mind? Well, of course, nobody's going to sit there and disagree with the person who's up in the front of the room. And so everybody sat there, and fortunately, I was in the back of the room, and after about 5 minutes, I realized, yeah, he's definitely not going in the direction as advertised. I'm not wasting my time, and so I got up and I left. And I fortunately had a plan B pick ready, and it wasn't far away, so I was able to jump into another breakout and made up for the time.
But that gets harder and harder the more filled these conferences get.
It does. It does.
You can't just jump into another room.
Yeah. Well, and there are some conferences that you pre-register for every breakout. Unless they have a no-show, you can't get in the room. So it does make challenge. You know, you do need. That's why it's important, I think, to do this exercise of saying, "What are my needs, and what will this breakout? How will it help me? How will it challenge me?" And then get in there. But what are some of the other questions that you think we should ask when you're deciding at breakouts? You know, you mentioned a couple, but are there other topics or other questions that somebody should ask when they're thinking about how to break these down?
I think when you're thinking about when you talk about breaking them down, it's very interesting because I think you got to look at specifically what am I trying to accomplish with these ministry needs, and you know, make sure that your ministry needs you think really deeply on. A good example that comes to mind is I'm going to teach a workshop on creativity. If you're looking for better ideas for how to build an environment, a set environment, or better ideas for how to do creative presentations, or if you're looking for better ideas of how to do drama or different things, you think, don't come to my breakout. go to Corinne Noble's breakout. She's going to do a great breakout on environment.
Right.
I don't like environment or don't teach about environment, but that's not what my creativity breakout's about. And I try to be very specific about that in the description, mm-hmm, because I'm like, you know, make sure you read those descriptions. Make sure you ask yourself, you know, forget whose name is by it.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's easy to say Jim Weidman is going to do a great breakout because Jim Weidman is going to do a great breakout. And he's doing a breakout at CPC, by the way.
Yes.
And he's going to do a great one. Read what he's doing.
Yes.
And say, is this what I need?
Mm-hmm.
Not as Jim. Jim's a fount of wisdom. He can teach you about anything.
Yep.
But if he's not teaching that day, don't go.
Right.
Don't go. Ask yourself, really read those descriptions and say, what are they doing? And does this really meet my need?
Right.
Don't base it on it. Because some of these presenters, I mean, I've had the privilege of serving on the, seeing some of these presenters, and I'm like, they're good, and they're just not as well known.
Right.
And that's fine. That's totally fine. But if they're teaching on something, but then also don't pick a breakout that sounds intriguing unless you're sure you got a need that meets it.
Right. Right.
That's the same token. Don't pick, just don't go, oh, I really want to learn about environment. I think that's going to be really cool. Unless environment's something you really think you need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you really only have a little bit of time. And if you're going to go and explain to your leadership, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Right. Yep. Yep.
You got out of it, then I think it's important that you have a clear connection of the ministry need you're trying to meet.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got somebody who they've decided, okay, I want to go to a conference. I've looked at the breakouts. I've made my list of my own ministry needs. I think I've picked a couple breakouts that will teach me what I need to grow those ministries and things like that. So I've made my travel arrangements. I got my stuff all set, and I go, and I get there to the conference. What are some things that you would say, hey, as a conference goer, you need to think about some of these kind of things? What tips would you give somebody who's coming, whether they've been there the first time or this is their fourth or fifth or sixth attending?
Yeah. First thing is when you're making your plans, you're talking about making your travel arrangements. The first thing I would say when you're making your plans is plan on being invested in the conference while you're at the conference.
Yes.
Don't be that guy that's like, I'm going to the conference, but I'm going to blow off half the conference to go do something else because I'm at the beach, or in CPC's case, I'm over by Disney World and I want to go play at the parks, and I'll go hear a couple of speakers or do a breakout or two. Yep. And then I'm going to just, don't do that.
Yep.
You're being a bad steward, in my opinion.
I was going to say, if you
of what's being prepared, there's a lot of thought, a lot of prayer, a lot of effort is going into serving you while you're there.
Right.
And if you're not there, they can't serve you.
Yep.
So dive in. Be in. If you want to go do something fun, my wife and I, we always plan a day after.
I was going to say, yeah, come early or stay late.
CPC gives you a night off in their case to go do something fun.
Yep.
So, but while you're there, take advantage of being there.
Yes. Be present.
Look at everything that you could possibly do. The second thing I would say is reach out to everyone you know who is either going or thinking about going, and talk about how you can connect.
Yes.
All right. You know, I'm going to spend time with you while we're there. Yep. Preston's coming down. John's going to be with me. I mean, you know, John's been one of my best friends for 20 years, but he lives in Dallas and I live in Austin, so we don't see each other every day.
All right.
So we're going to be on site a lot.
Yep.
Spending time together, spending time with each other, and enriching those relationships.
Yeah.
Sharing some air. Like I say, sharing air in the same oxygen space. So that's another thing, is like try to find ways to connect with people while we're there, and enjoy, especially if you're going by yourself.
Right.
You can enjoy the conference with people. It's always fun with a group.
Yeah. Use those meal times.
Yep.
And sit with somebody, you know, engage some of the speakers or the ministry coaches. You can get one of the unique things that CPC, and I believe they're one of the first conferences to do this, is to offer coaching where you can sit down for a time and talk over a pressing issue and get some perspective, brainstorm or whatever. I know a lot of those coaches. I know I did it because I do coaching down there. Where I ended up, we ran out of time and we wanted to dive deeper. And so we took a meal time together and met up again, and they brought some of their team to lunch and we sat around and talked through lunch.
That's cool. You know, Orange does a good job with that, I think.
Yeah.
They're Orange specialists. They always have a great place to meet and connect.
That's true. They do have the Orange specialists. I'd forgotten. Yep. So if a conference offers those kind of things, take advantage of those for sure. It's amazing how many times though I've been at CPC or another conference where, you know, you're around a tourist attractions and people cut out. and take off and miss out on so much. And if you want to burn a bridge with your senior leadership, just go to, you know, bust off of a couple breakouts or whatever and post on social media that you're out partying or playing it at the mousetrap for humans.
Yeah, and they'll say, hey, what did we spend that money on?
Exactly.
Put that money on. So, yep. Yeah.
So I would say, yeah, that's a good tip. Be present, take advantage of the time, take advantage of the experience.
Hang out, talk to people.
Yes. Yes.
You know, a lot of conferences, they love to do the food truck thing.
Yes.
I'm not a big fan of the food truck thing personally, but the reason I'm not a fan of the food truck thing is also a really beneficial thing, is that food truck things are anything but fast. They're slow as all get out.
True.
And so you wind up standing in line for a good 20 minutes trying to get an order in and another 20 minutes waiting on your food. But that whole time you're talking to people.
Yes.
And you're connecting to people who are standing around also yep. waiting to put in their order, also waiting to get their food. Yep. So I think that is a benefit to that. I know a lot of conferences, CPC is one example, but a lot of conferences, they'll have a common place to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I used to watch, and we did this at when we did our conference at Fellowship, we would do, people just kind of gathered whatever floor they could find, or we'd set up some tables in some rooms, and you'd see people everywhere. Orange did it one year. I went to an Orange tour where there was a big amphitheater near or on the same campus as the church that was meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Went and sat in the amphitheater, and it was a beautiful day, and we sat there and ate and talked. But CPC does a big, like, tables, set right. of tables. Where you can go and sit down, and they do long tables in the conference space. They do a lot to allow you the convenience of not having to leave the site.
Yes.
And that gives you more time to talk.
Yeah, take advantage of that.
Get in the car, go get something, get back. You're losing. That's just time lost. Yep. Time lost.
And I'd encourage people, if you're there, especially if you're there alone, or maybe you are with a group and you see somebody by themselves, invite them in.
Right.
And invite them over and start asking questions. You know, my one tip that I would give people when they attend is come with questions, and start asking people. Don't just ask the quote unquote experts. Ask people that you can, like when you are standing in line for the food truck, have some questions that you can ask people, and don't just ask how big of a church are you in? How big is your children's ministry?
And if you're an extrovert, go find the introverts. They're over on the side.
Yes.
They're not going to do that.
They're sitting by themselves under the palm tree.
Right, go eat under the palm tree too.
Yes. There we go. So we get started in the conference and we're saying be present. What other tips? Because I know I've got a few, but what are some other things that you would give?
I'm a big fan of talking to everyone, connecting, and we talked about that, you know, here at length. But like even in places like the Resource Center, where you're going to see people, vendors,
yep.
you're going to see. Ask them when you're talking to vendors. Ask them about their philosophies. Ask them about what their vision is, what they want to do. And it's not because you just necessarily have to buy that product so much as that you're learning. Learning from them too. These are people that put a lot of effort and time into figuring out stuff. So spend some time connecting with vendors. Spend some time connecting with team members. To me, it's all about connection, and it's all about resting too. The yes. second thing I say is rest.
Yes.
Do your absolute best. I can't say this enough. To the best of your ability, leave your work at home.
Yes.
Don't take it is such, and you think, well, if I don't spend some time doing this and that, I'm like, you really need to take the time to make sure you're prepared to leave and not have to come back and do a bunch of stuff or have to pull yourself away. I've seen people who go, yeah, I really want to go do that, but I'm going to have to take another couple hours and send out these emails and make these phone calls. And I know it's hard. And I know you can convince yourself, I don't have the time to give, but here it is. This is October, and you know, CPC's in January. But a couple months out, start planning to be gone. So yeah. You're not thinking about work.
Yep.
That other than from a big vision, practical application perspective.
Yeah. For
not
sure.
How do I fill my slots this weekend?
Yeah. Oh man, I'm going to echo those. I agree with you. I agree with you on the resource room. CPC has a fantastic resource area.
Yep.
And 1 year I made the decision I was going to do my best to talk to as many resource providers as I possibly could. And I literally just said, I'm going to start on this row and I'm going to walk down and I'm going to talk to at least ask two questions of every person. You know, what are you doing here? What's your ministry? What's your product? What's your thing? Give me your elevator pitch. You know, and a lot of times if you ask them, you know, give me your short synopsis of what do you do? Why would I want to be interested? What can this do for me and my ministry? And I took a few notes on it. And so I created this little file that I've got in Evernote. So that now when I'm like, I have somebody ask me, well, where would you find this or that? I'm like, hey, let me go check out my CPC vendor list. Cause I probably know somebody. And so, you know, I tell people, you know, sometimes just hanging out there is so worth it. And look for those booths that even nobody's standing around and go talk to that person because you're right. They've invested time, money, treasure, you know, whatever, and into displaying. And so go and check it out. You may not think it applies to you or could apply, but you never know. And you may resource somebody else, you know, sitting around the conference. And then, yes, I encourage people to rest too. I will say this, that if you have to skip something, skip something and rest. Take an hour and take a nap. There's some people that walk into those conferences and they're like zombies. You've seen it. I've been there. I mean, I've been that way. Where sometimes you go to a conference and you're there because you're wondering if you're going to continue in ministry. And you're hoping for something, a burning bush moment during the conference. And maybe what you just need to do is sleep. And so you may have to skip the extra late night event thing and go to bed early and rest, or, you know, or maybe you'll have to just spend a little money out of your own pocket, buy the recording of something. And because fortunately all these conferences do record. So if you miss something, you can go back and get it and take that break.
You bring a good point. It is extremely valuable to buy whatever conference recording offerings they do, because you're getting all that content now that you can peruse at your own time.
Yep.
And you're basically getting a library of workshops and speakers that you can go back to anytime you need it.
Yeah. So share it with your teams.
Yeah.
So I would say that's one thing. If you can budget for the conference recordings, because that does allow you that if you need to take a break, I know, you know, sometimes by the end of the week, you know, and I'm not telling anybody to skip the breakouts on Thursday. Cause I think that, full disclosure, that's me. I'm doing the breakout on Thursday. But I know sometimes by Thursday, your brain is full and your heart's full and you're like, oh, I can't take any more information. Of course, that's part of why I'm doing the breakout that I'm doing, because sometimes you get to a breaking point in ministry, and so that's what I'm doing is you know.
Well, I think it's important to know when. I think you bring up a good point. It's important to know when to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And say I've got. I mean, as much as I'm telling you to be involved and invested and dive in, participate in everything, if you get a point where you've got what you need, then just relax.
Yeah.
And talk to people, get to know them. Build relationships, but don't worry so much about having to be every place at every time.
Right. Yep.
Because if you're done, if you got what you needed, you're done. It's right. Okay to give yourself permission.
Yes.
To quit. So, I mean, I know it kind of says two things. Don't run off, participate all the time.
Yeah.
But only to the point that you've got what you need.
Right.
And that's why it's important to know what your needs are before you go.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when my pastor came to me and said, look, I'm not expecting you to attend every single thing. In fact, I'll be disappointed if you do. And I'm like, what? And he's like, I want you to go with your objectives. I want you to go down with your focus, but I also want you to go and I don't want you to come back tired and exhausted either. I want you to come back refreshed and renewed and ready to go. And you may need to take a break some point in the conference and just chill out. And so I think that's important. But resting and chilling out is different than going off and playing and being silly and doing that. So I think you have to really, you know, seek the Lord on that one and know, hey, my heart is full. My spirit has been lifted. I know I've met my objectives. I can take a break now. And that break may be coming. I mean, you may start with a break. You may need that rest at the very beginning. I don't know. But yeah, I think be a good steward. You brought that word in, stewardship. I think that's the important part is when you get to the end of the conference, were you a good steward of what you've been given?
Well, that's a good question, because don't forget you're the most valuable resource.
Yeah.
There for your church.
Yep.
It's not the money. We always like to focus on the money. You're the most valuable resource. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to get the most out of it. And if that means resting, that means resting. If that means dying, but I think you make a very good point. Make sure that be a good steward. You're being a good steward of yourself as well as what the church is spending to send you down there.
Yeah.
But so that leads me kind of to my next kind of where to go from there. So we talked about like what to do before you go. Let's identify our ministry needs.
Yep.
Let's set aside our work. Let's make sure that where our work is prepared for us to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure we've connected with anyone that's going to go down there that we can.
Yep.
So that we make the most of our experience when we're down there.
Yep.
When you get there, participate in everything you need. Take advantage of everything the conference has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
But know where you need to stop and know when you're full. All right.
Yep.
That's it. That's why you're there. Then toward the end of the conference and moving into it, you need to leave that conference with a rough idea of how you're going to take what you've learned that was supposed to meet your ministry needs and put it into practice in a tangible way.
Right.
In a way you can point back to your leadership and say, because you sent me to this conference, we're now doing this.
Yeah. So what would you do then after the conference? How would you process? Because some conferences, especially if you're new to conferences, it will be like drinking out of a fire hose. And it's on full blast, and you've just had all this. And then you're so full up. You're so pumped. You're so excited. Now you got to take it back to the group of people who weren't there.
Right.
So let's talk about this idea of what do you do? Let's break it down. How do you process the information that you've been given? And then we'll talk about implementing. But how do you just process it? What kind of things have you done to process information that you get from the fire hose?
Yeah, that's a good question. I tend to use two buckets. All right. The first bucket has to do with what I plan to get out of it and what I was looking for when I went down there.
Kind of going back to your list of objectives.
I know my ministry needs.
Yep.
And I'm going to compare, did I get what I needed out of this experience?
Okay.
All right. Because not only is that important for what I'm going to do later, but it's also more important for deciding next year if this is worth returning to.
Ah, good point.
Because every conference is going to try to get you to sign up as fast as you can to come back next year. That's what conferences do. Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But rather than make the decision in the moment of, am I overwhelmed? Am I inspired? Am I overwhelmed? Am I exhausted? Am I overwhelmed? Am I frustrated? You've got that artifact. You've got that list of here's my needs.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get those? Did I learn something to help meet those needs? That's an easy way to clearly think, okay, that's value to me. It may be worth coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's a little secret. It's not really a little secret. Every conference is going to have a pretty good worship experience.
Yep.
They do a good job.
Yep.
Lots of them do. I've been to tons of conferences, and there's very, very few that I've been to that I'm like, that's a bad worship experience. I can't really name
right.
it. In most cases, they do that very well.
Yep.
Many conferences are going to have good inspirational speakers.
Yep.
Many conferences are going to have the same good inspirational speakers.
Very true.
You'll be able to see the same people in multiple conferences. That's fine too. There's nothing wrong with that. Again, you know, if you're going to come inspire someone, that's great.
Yep.
So those things are not things you want to factor in going home or whether or not I'm coming back.
Right.
All right.
I'll throw one more in there too. Sorry to interrupt, but I'll throw one more in. And everybody does a good job of helping people have fun. Because I think all conferences realize workers need to come and laugh and laugh till they cry. And so I think, yeah, you've hit it. Inspiration, worship, fun. Everybody's going to have those things. So that's not how you want to base whether I should go back to a conference on or not. Right. So sorry, I just wanted to throw that in there because I know, you know, everybody does those kind of things very, very well. So the, once we got into that, how do you process this stuff? You've got those two buckets.
You got your buckets. Did I get my needs met? That's bucket number one. All right. So that's a great, easy way to say this is going to be a worthwhile experience to come back to. And this is something that I can then take and put into practical application when I get back. That's the first thing you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Right.
You went down with those needs in mind. You're going to come back and start implementing things to meet those needs. So that's the first bucket I use. The second bucket was what I call the just the inspirational bucket, the things that God caught me off guard with.
Mm.
I didn't expect to have this idea. I didn't expect to have this vision. I didn't expect to get this insight. I didn't expect to have this conversation or hear this talk. And as a result, it's really affecting how I think God wants me to do ministry. All right?
Wow. Yeah.
That's your second bucket. All right? Now, why I have them in two buckets in my mind is because we often get super inspired and we knee-jerk and want to try to put that into place immediately. And like a good roast, it needs to sit in the oven for a while.
Yeah.
Like when I make chili, I let it simmer on the stove for a good 3 hours.
Yeah, buddy.
Because I want to get the flavor right. I want to get it exactly what we're looking for. And so if you've got a lightning bolt of inspiration, that stuff's going to need time for you to think through, mm-hmm. for you to process, for you to think, what does this really look like in my situation? And you're going to need some space because sometimes, I'm just going to be honest, a flash of inspiration sounds like a good idea until you get it back home and you realize, okay, that was just the moment. That really wasn't a big God moment. That was more, I just thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. If it's a big God moment, it'll stay with you.
Yes.
If it's not, it'll. So that's why I don't like to throw stuff into practice immediately. Because I'm like, the big God moment won't let me go.
Right. Ooh, that's good.
So
that's good.
The big God moment won't let me go. So let's let it sit in the bucket and let's let the Holy Spirit work. Let's let our brains and creativity flow and let's figure out how to put this into practice. Meanwhile, I've got my list and I'm going to put it into practice immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to whoever you're accountable to who said, hey, how was the conference? And you come back and you say, you know what? I learned this. It's going to meet these needs. And you're going to see some changes over the next few weeks that I think is going to help us really grow our ministry. But I also heard some of this stuff that I think I want to think through, and I'm going to bring it back to you at a later day.
Mm.
We're going to share. Yeah. Now, from the person who sent you to the conference, from their perspective, it's a huge value.
Right.
Because they're seeing you come back with immediate results, immediate things to put in place that you'll see results soon. And big ideas for the future, all from being gone for a few days. That's a great value.
Yes.
And people are going to be reached, and there's opportunities to see growth in your church and reach your community and engage people with the gospel. Knowing that I sent you away for 3 days and you came back and your output is exponential as a result, that's a huge value.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, I love that. You know, and I know one of the things that I've learned to do, and I think someone shared this with me, because when I asked question, one of the questions I asked a conference attender who I knew was a veteran, is how do you process this? And they said that what they would do is every breakout, as they're going through and as they're taking notes, they were able to, especially now it's easier electronically, but back in the day when you just got your notebooks. They would literally, and sometimes I think it's a bit, I almost wished I'd go back to a conference notebook, just cause you do remember a lot more when you write it down. But the problem is so many times the speakers are talking so fast, I'm trying, right. I can type it faster than I can write it. But anyway, the idea was to sit and process just for a few moments at the conclusion of that breakout. And it's hard cause there's not a lot of time in between breakouts sometimes. But to sit there and say, okay, what are some things, and kind of make yourself a code, whether it's a star or a box or something, But this person would make a note, notation of, this is something that I need to consider implementing right away. Here's another notation for something that's future thought. And then a third one was, what do I need to talk to my team through? You know, what?
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And I liked those three things of just three simple marks. And that way they could go back and they did that in the moment. And then later on, they would sit down and review their notes, and they could then process, okay, this is stuff that I can implement now. So what steps do I have to take to implement it? What steps, you know, here's some long range thing. Is this a 3 month, 6 month, 1 year plan? Is this something I can't look at right now? And then that, what do I need to talk to my team or my senior leadership about and get their input on first? I liked that. I thought that was really helpful. Like you say, as you're looking at your two buckets, you could even do that with your buckets to say, this has inspired me, but can I do this now? Is this something I need to wait on? Is this something I need to pray through more? You know, all those kind of things. And I think that leads us right into that idea of implementing. What's a process that you've used to implement some of the info that you've brought back from a conference?
I tend to look at, give myself about a month or less to implement something immediately.
Yeah.
All right. You say immediately because, you know, we can't hit the ground running going, I'm coming back this weekend and throwing it. You're just going to throw the machine off and everybody's going to be slowly confused. But within the first month, you should be implementing something.
Right.
If you have nothing to implement after a month of going to this conference, then it might not have been a good conference for you to go to.
Yeah.
All right, so you should be trying something. Uh-huh. And again, that's why you want to start with that practical list so that you have a place to start. Because sometimes you come back and go, I don't know where to start. That's the whole, like you said, drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah.
So within a month, you should be implementing something. Yep. You should be trying it, and you should be assessing how it's working and then getting ready to move on to the next thing to see how your system. And then, you know, again, within the next 2 or 3 weeks, implement the next thing. Then don't try to do it all at once. For one, because that's just too much.
Yeah.
Right? You want to pick the need. If you're in a place where you have an obvious biggest need, you know, you want to start there. If you're in a place where you don't have the obvious biggest need, then choose one and say, we'll start here. Whichever one you like. And we'll try it. We'll go through it. We'll see if it works. We'll iterate. We'll make changes and we'll decide if we want to keep going this way or not. Once you feel comfortable, move to the next one. Once you feel comfortable, move to the next. So within the next, you know, 3 months or so, you should have a few things going that you can look back and say, when did the conference put this into practice, and here's the results, okay? Then once you get that far out, by the six-month mark from the conference, you should be able to say, I'm starting on one of my big ideas.
That's good.
Right. Yeah. One of the big ideas should still hold on. Whatever those inspirations that didn't let you go, about 6 months in, you're like, okay, I'm ready. I should be going on one of these big ideas. All the practical stuff that I'd planned to bring back, I've already gotten going.
Right.
Now I'm ready to start on to the new stuff, the stuff that's the inspiration pieces. And if you're not there, if in 6 months you're like going, I'm not really doing anything with my practical, I'm not really doing anything with my inspirational, then this is not a knock on the conference. This is more about you.
Right.
This may not be the best thing for you to do.
Yep. Yep.
It may not be the best use of your time.
Right.
You really need to be able to do something that points back to, I got that idea from the conference, and that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And now our ministry is growing because of it.
That's really good. That's a good way to show, and because this is going to lead to our final question really, is that whole idea that you're going to be able to show your senior leadership that this was a worthwhile investment.
Yep.
And so there may be some people out there still, though, that are going, well, wow, you know, I'm not sure whether, you know, I mean, maybe I'm in a small church and my church isn't going to be able to pay for me, so why would you say it's worth somebody investing, even if they have to pay their own way? And, you know, why should somebody attend a conference? And what could they do? What could they say to convince senior leadership that this is worthwhile? We're going to kind of wrap it up with something that I think some people struggle with, and that person was struggling with in the Facebook group was, is it worth my money? Why would you say it's worth your money that you've attended conferences?
Because there's something about getting away from your day-to-day routine, getting away from your day-to-day demands of ministry, and taking a step back and looking at the vision of what God is doing and the practical ways to employ it that you can't quantify. Mm-hmm. And you can't say, well, you can get that anywhere else.
Right.
It's not something you can get anywhere else.
Right.
There's also the opportunity to get around a diverse group of people who are all pursuing the same thing you are. Right. In this case, it's reaching the kids with the gospel, reaching kids with the gospel, engaging parents, volunteers. You know that everyone in this room, everyone in this building, everyone on this hotel campus for the span of 3 days knows exactly what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Knows, has the same challenges you have.
Yeah.
Has met them in different ways. Right. You're not going to get that in a Facebook group necessarily.
Right.
You're not going to get that in just talking to a few friends.
Right.
It's an intense time together, connecting to God and connecting to fellow pastors in both inspirational and practical ways. It's a unique experience. And that's why I think it's worthwhile. It's worth even spending your own money on.
Yep.
Because if you're going to pursue this ministry, you need to get around these people. And you need to have these moments, these times where you pull away from whatever's going on and go get poured into.
Yes.
Because you can only minister out of what's being poured into you.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you talk about drinking from a fire hose. The thing about a fire hose is it puts out fires. It's a valuable tool in that you know, there are things that when you're burning out and you're struggling and you're wrestling with issues and you're having day-to-day things and you feel isolated and you feel like I'm the only one that's going through this, that fire hose puts that fire out, gives you some perspective.
Mm.
You realize there's a lot out there to help you.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it.
Wow. Boy, Jason, that's some good stuff. We're going to leave it right there. I'm not even going to add anything to it. That was a great way to end. So listen, if you are out there and you're thinking about a conference, we both would love to see you at Children's Pastors Conference 2019. There's still time to get a room. There's still time to get registration in. So I know
their early bird rate's still good, I think, through the end of November.
Yep.
And I think I got a message the other day that hotel rooms are filling up. So
yep. Yeah, it's getting close. But there's always somebody that's going to be looking for roommates and stuff. So feel free to reach out into the communities. You might find somebody you can swap. There's, if you need ideas of how to save some money on it, message Jason or I. We'd be glad to help you, give you some advice and some tips. We've all done it on budgets.
Yeah, and I want to point out the Caribe Royale, which is where the hotel where we have the conference. That's an all suite hotel.
Yes.
So if you're sharing a room with somebody, you guys aren't on top of each other.
That's right.
There's like a little living room space, and it's comfortable. And yeah, hey,
I'm splitting the room with a couple other guys. I'm getting the living room, so it's all mine. They can have the other room. They don't want to listen to me snore anyway. So. So I can't believe I just admitted that on air, but oh, whatever. It's going to be a great time. We would love to connect with you. If you're planning on coming, we would definitely message us. We would love to share a meal with you. Jason, John, and I, we'll hang out with you guys and would love to answer questions. Both of us are coaching. Is John coaching too? Do you know?
Yeah, John's coaching.
Okay. So all three of us are part of the coaching team. We're all doing breakouts. We'd love to meet you, chat with you, encourage you, pray with you, whatever we can do. We're there to serve. That's why I'm there. I know that's why those guys are there. So we hope that we'll see you at Children's Pastors Conference. If we don't see you there, I go to Orange. I'm around to others. I'm hoping to get to D6 and Etch. I've heard a lot of great things. I've been trying to get down to those. So there's a lot of good stuff out there. Look around. There's plenty of regional conferences. If you're out west, there's the Northwest Ministry Conference. And
mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yeah, there's some other ones around. So take a look. But get involved in something step aside and rest and get it renewed, get encouraged. So check out a conference. and make the most of it while you're there. So thanks for listening to this episode of the KMC. We'll look forward to connecting with you again on our next episode.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.